Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Appreciate everybody being here. And before we pray, let me just say, I've had an outstanding time this week. I really have. I don't just make this up. I have had a tremendous time. I've had so much fun the last two nights just going through the Word of God. It's what I like to do the best. Just go here, there, everywhere. And it's been fun for me. It's been relaxing for me. And this area of the country, is absolutely beautiful. And we are talking about coming back again next year in October. And let's do this again. Let's have some more people here. But even if we don't, we'll come back. And the thing I want to do the most here next year is ride one of those boats on the canal. Yeah, I saw that Monday, and I'm going, I want to ride the boat. And they said, no, you can't ride the boat today. And I'm going, I want to ride the boat. Okay. Oh, yeah. So anyway, it's the Erie Canal. Yeah, Wabash Erie Canal. So, I want to do that next year. And I want to come back in October when the leaves are all nice and bright and everything like that, nice weather. So anyway, but I have had a tremendous time just visiting with you guys, and it's been good for me. It's been good for our family, and we done talked about it. We're going to get up early in the morning and leave and go down and see the Ark. Okay? Yeah. And then we're going to go home. Okay? So it's going to be a long day tomorrow, but I think we're going to look forward to it. So turn to Revelation 6, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessings tonight. I literally got up this morning, had this on my mind. I've been piecing it together all day today. I'm still not satisfied with it, but we'll see where the Lord takes it, all right? I want to know who these four horsemen are. Revelation 6, I want to know this, okay? And I'm a little closer than I was, but I don't know it yet. But we'll study the Bible, all right? Heavenly Father, it is very good to be in your presence tonight. And Lord, you said, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And Lord, here our Bible is, right here in the midst of each one of us. Lord, that's you. That's your Spirit. That is your Word. That is your promise. And we thank you for those great and precious promises. Lord, there are conferences in this country, Lord, where there's a lot more people. But Father, I've been to some of those. They don't honor your Word. And Father, we just ask, God, that you allow us into your presence tonight by the grace of Jesus Christ, by his blood, and by the cross. Give us an understanding, Lord, of the true gospel tonight. And Lord, help us, dear God, to see the other gospel that we're warned about. Lord, give us light. Give us understanding. Lord, give us a peace in our heart tonight of knowing that all things are in your hand. Bless your word tonight. Bless this group. We pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 6. Now, we're not going to read it yet. Okay, I just want you to have it ready. You could also flip over to Ezekiel 14, because that's eventually where we're going to end up tonight. All right? So, but here's how we're going to start it. Last night, we kind of started looking into this particular number. And the lady asked a good question earlier. You know, why study these numbers? Why do we have to know them? Well, you don't have to know what I know about Bible numbers, all right? But they do reflect God's order. If we want to know, I want to know why there's four horsemen here. And I want to know what they are. I want to know what they're doing. I want to know what their purpose is. And so in doing that, I go and I study things that are grouped together in fours. What does it look like? I'm wearing my, do you notice my tie? This is one of my DNA ties, all right? You can't tell it if you don't get too close. You get close enough and you'll see thymine, adenine, adenine, guanine, thymine, cytosine, cytosine, adenine. All the base pair letters are on this tie, and somebody sent that to me, and I'm going, I love this. This would be perfect for tonight. And what's so important about this? There's four base pairs. Let me just show you this. I've showed you this before, but it's very, very relevant to what we're going to look at tonight, to what these four horsemen represent. Here is my Bible, okay? I am what it says I am. A sorry, low-down, hell-deserving, disgusting, scumbag sinner, amen? Here it is. We have the Old Testament here, which is one witness. And then we have the New Testament over here, which is the second witness. And then we know, because we've studied this book, we know that what brings the Old Testament and ties it in with the New Testament are these four books here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there could have only been one book in the Bible that told the story of Jesus. But for some reason, God put four in here. Three of them, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are very, very similar. They're called the Synoptic Gospels. Okay, they look, optic means they look. They look the same. They're sort of synchronized. John is different. When you read John, John doesn't say and talk about a lot of the stories that Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. John's wording is different. His style of writing is different in the book of John. But they all contain the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, contained in all four of these books. What's interesting, you do this study. You remember the story about Peter cutting off this guy's ear, okay? It's interesting is that every gospel, every one of these books has a different look at that story. And from all four books, you piece together the entire story of who this guy was, what his name was, what, you know, that his ear got chopped off, and then Jesus putting it back on. You won't find all of the details in one of the Gospels, but you will find all the details in all four of them. And so, but anyway, the idea here is that everything here from Genesis to Malachi will point you toward these four books. Everything from Acts to Revelation then is because of these four books. That's the purpose of these four letters here. In DNA, you have the two strands. You have this one and this one. They're both made of sugar phosphate. Sugar because the word is sweet, tastes sweet. Phosphate because it's light. So your DNA literally is a book made out of light. Okay, it lights up and it tastes sweet. And joining those two strands together are these four pairs that go together. And adenine, guanine, and cytosine are similar in their structure. Thymine is the one that's different. There is one that's different in those four, and it's thymine. And that matches the four Gospels with John. That matches, if I give you, let me give you these four names. Rachel, Leah, Bilha, Zilpha. We talked about that. Those are the four women that gave birth to the 12 tribes. Three of those are the same. One of them's different. Who's the different one? Rachel. She was the true love. Okay? The other three were whatever. Okay? Wayside, stony ground, thorny ground, good ground. Good ground's different. Why? It's the only one that bears fruit. Different than the other three. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the Son of God. Obviously, the Son of God's different than the other three. He's the reason why the other three are doing okay in the fire. And you see that all through the Bible. You show me four things in the Bible, I can almost without fail show you that one of them is different than the other three. All right? And that's what you have with your DNA. All right? Now, why am I saying all this? Because we're going to center upon this number, the number four. And what does it mean? So we started this last night. The Bible says, let there be light. Four words here. Remember, DNA is phosphorus. Let there be light. Four words. And there was light. Four more words. The fourth gospel. It talks about light. He came to bear witness of that light. Notice the capital L. That all men through him might believe he was not that light, capital L, but was sent to bear witness of that light, capital L. That was the true light. Four times. In this passage, he talks about the light, capitalizes the letter L. The King James translators did four times in this passage. And that's because the gospel is what gives us the true light. And I want you to be thinking about that. If the real gospel brings light, what does a fake gospel bring? It'll bring darkness. Okay, see how simple that is. Let's see here. Some of this I want to move through real fast. On day four of creation, this is what's going to tie in to what we're going to talk about tonight. God said that to be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be four, and let's count. Signs, seasons, for days, and years. Notice four things that these lights do, and they're created on the fourth day. Now, here's what I want you to think of. The stars in the Bible. Whenever we see stars in the Bible, like in Revelation 12, when the dragon takes his tail and he grabs one third of the stars of heaven and casts them down to earth, what are those stars? Angels. What are these celestial lights that are in the sky? We're given a clue. They're created on day four, and they are for four things: signs, seasons, days, and years. So he made the greater light, the lesser light. He made the stars also. Stars. And I don't have the absolute perfect, this is what you gotta believe thing. But every place in the Bible where I see stars, they're always referred to as sons of God, the heavenly host. They sing, they're given personifications, and one third of them will fall to the earth. Okay? Now, I can't give you all the scientific answers. I just know that stars in the Bible are angels. They are creatures that God made. And here's what I'm going to ask you. Are there people who, instead of worshiping the God who made the stars, are there people who worship the stars themselves? Astrologers. They actually worship, and the Bible says they serve those stars. How do they serve them? Whatever the stars and however they're lined up, that's supposed to mean this and this and this. And these people do what those stars command them to do. And I want you to get a hold of that, because I think it's relevant to what we're going to... I think it's relevant to what those four horsemen are and what the Bible says they are. So think of these luminary objects that are in the sky related to this number, and think of them as spiritual beings that God created, angels, both good and bad. Let's see here. Genesis 13, when God told Abram, look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. We have the four directions, all right? Basically, and what we know is that Abraham sought for a country. The country that he sought for was not limited to the little land of Israel. His inheritance was heaven. 1, 2, 3, 4. A city built how? We talked about this last night. Four square. The number four always represents the spiritual realm. And I'll show you more of that as we move along. We have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then we have the four women who gave birth to the 12 tribes. So 1, 2, 3, 4. The 12 tribes are the fourth in the lineage from Abraham. And Jesus came from Judah, who was not the firstborn. He was the high priest, but he wasn't from Levi. Judah, in the Bible, was the fourth born son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the four women. So what that tells you is that Jesus is a high priest, not of an earthly order. He's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And there's some who say that Melchizedek was Jesus. There's some, I tend to think that Melchizedek is an angel, a very high angel in heaven. And there are angel priests in heaven. They give attendance to the temple of God in heaven. If you read Isaiah 6, you'll see that one of the angels took a tong from off the altar. He is one of the angels that give attendance to the temple. So there is an order of priests in heaven. They are angels. And Jesus is the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. That's why he came from Judah, number four, not Levi, number three. And think about it. Judah, number four. Where does Jesus perform his high priest duties? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. those four books. Everybody see the connection so far? And we're talking about the gospel, so that's where we're headed. Fourth book of the Bible, Numbers chapter 21. Remember, therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents." What do serpents represent? Satan, devils, their poison. Their poison is their doctrine. Where does the serpent's poison come from? Its mouth, under his tongue. Where does false doctrine come from? People's mouths. Yeah, I know what you guys are talking about. You were talking about it earlier, okay? I got you. I figured it out. You guys are looking at each other and going, "I know the look." Okay? Okay? There's some people that just go all the time. It just makes you wonder, okay? Joseph Chambers had a video of Kenneth Hagin at Life Christian Center in Fenton, Missouri. That's close by our house. Hagin's going around going like that, and I'm just, yeah, he's got a devil in him, there's no doubt. Serpents, false doctrine, false teachers. Moses prayed for the people. Moses is like Jesus. He is the mediator. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten..." Hey, when we believed false doctrine, Jesus stood on our behalf and saved us from that nonsense. Somebody say amen. Okay, when he looketh upon it, shall live. This is the doctrine of faith right here. God said, look upon it. When you believed it, you looked on it and you live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. What was the serpent's poison in the Garden of Eden? It's what he said. Those 46 words in your King James Bible that the serpent said poisoned Eve. What was the antidote to that poison? Look and live. Wow. Okay. That's the fourth book of the Old Testament. Fourth book of the New Testament is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 3 is where Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." You see the symmetry of the Bible. Fourth book of the Old Testament, serpents bite, they look, they live. Fourth book of the New Testament, Jesus is the one who's lifted up. If we look upon him and believe, we live. Isn't that cool? So the real gospel... the real gospel has always been about belief instead of perform. You understand what I'm saying? I believe what God said. I love what God said, and I love God's commandments. Everybody agree with me? Say amen. I am unable to perform them. Never have been. Never will be in this life. Don't let anybody fool you into believing that you can live all 10 commandments perfectly and get your way into heaven that way. It's a lie. There was only one who lived those 10 commandments perfectly. It was not Joseph Smith. It was not Billy Graham. It was not Oral Roberts. It was not Finis Dake. It was Jesus Christ. Listen, we are not going to be equal with Jesus Christ in this world. We are not going to steal his glory. You're not going to be perfect and live the Ten Commandments and never violate them another day in your life. It's not going to happen. See, this is where we're getting into false gospels now. Either you believe or you perform, but you cannot have both. Paul said, if it's of grace, it is not of works. And it's of works, then it is not of grace. It cannot be both ways. You cannot have biblical performance and God's grace given to you at the same time, because grace is unmerited favor. Works is merited favor. You deserved it. You earned it. all of the promises in the Old Testament, they failed them, those who lived in the Old Testament. Jesus is the only one who qualified. Boy, here I am chasing rabbit. I'll never get this done. Go to Psalm 1. Let me show you this. And here's the bad part. The stuff about the four horsemen, it's in the last four slides of my presentation tonight, and I got 50 slides here. But I feel like if I say this, I've got to have scripture to back it up. Because trust me, it's a bad thing to take me to a Christian bookstore and then have me preach right after that. Because I'm walking around just shaking my head going, I don't believe this stuff. Look at this. Let me tell you what has crept in to most churches. Almost without fail, it is some sort of works-based benefit that God gives you. Who remembers the prayer of Jabez? Remember that? Boy, that just blew through, didn't it? Okay. This guy said, I prayed this prayer three times a day, and God made me rich, and God made me healthy, and God blessed this, and God blessed, because I did this. Sounded good. But it's works. And it comes in, I don't care what forms it comes in, whether it's self-righteousness, church rules, church morals, I don't care what form it comes in, it is usually a works-based performance. I did this, therefore God must give me this. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now here's what I'm going to ask you. Who wants that blessing? Say amen. Okay? So the first question I'm going to ask you is, who in here has ever stood or walked in the counsel of someone ungodly? Who in here has ever stood with sinners while they were sinning? Who in here ever laughed or mocked God, the Bible, Jesus Christ, the gospel way? Okay, so you didn't do that one. Two out of three. Okay? Blessed is the man. And the blessing only comes on the one who has never done any of these. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Raise your hand if that applies to you. I cannot raise my hand. I do not meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Okay? Now, let me ask you the question. Nobody in this room, on these two verses, nobody in this room qualifies for those blessings. Who does? Jesus. Your righteousness and your blessing comes as a result of you being in Christ as he receives the blessing. You know what it's like to be in Christ? Go look at Noah. Noah was where? In the ark. Noah was not hanging on the outside of the ark like this going, I hope I make it. He was. You know who that ark was? That ark was Christ. Noah and his family was in Christ. And in Christ, there is no condemnation. Think about it. Everybody outside of the ark perished except Noah and his family. The only way we can receive the blessings and the promises told to us in the Bible is if A, we were born of a virgin, and we never, ever, ever sinned one time and never will. Outside of that, you don't get anything from God. The only way you can attain it is being in Christ by faith. He's the one who gets the blessings. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? So you have to settle this in your mind. Do I work to stay saved? Do I work to get blessings from God? Do I say, God, if you'll give me this, then I'll do this for you? Or are you like me? God, I have no right for you to give me one thing. But God, please, I'm asking, God, will you help me today? I don't trust me. You shouldn't either. You should only trust the Lord Jesus Christ and this book. Does everybody understand me so far? The gospel is believe. The false gospel will always be do, perform, exhibit this, pay this, say this. Don't do this, then you can be saved. That is a false gospel. It is a gospel of works, and it is excluded from grace. If you want to work, if you want to do it, let me tell you something. According to Paul, if you want to do one thing of the law and do it all your life and expect God to give you His blessings as a result of it, then according to Galatians, you are now required to perform every single law. Because God doesn't see it. Well, this law, I want you to do this law, but I'll let you slide on this one. God never said that, ever. It's all or nothing. Okay? So I would just ask you, you don't have to raise your hand. Who in here anticipates that from now until glory, you're 100% sure that you will never fail God again? I cannot raise my hand, and I won't, because I know me. I know me. I know I won't make it if that's the deal. So I believe, and I trust only the Lord Jesus. You got that so far? Israel's whole problem was they thought they could do and live. And here they are in the valley of dry bones. They are so dead that their bones are scattered throughout the valley. And God says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live? Lord, thou knowest." And so what he says is, "Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy unto the son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the," how many winds? Four winds. Where do you think those four winds blow from?
Luke.
John. Does that make sense? The four winds are the four Gospels. Israel is going to have to believe that they can't do the law. Because, let me ask you a question. How many righteous acts can Lazarus do in the tomb? And how many days had he been in that tomb? 4 days. So what did Jesus say to Lazarus? Lazarus, if you can keep the law, I'll let you live. It's not what happened. Jesus simply said, Lazarus, come forth. Three is the number for resurrection, by the way, too. Lazarus, come forth. Three words. And what happened? He that was dead came forth. 4 days he had been dead. His works and his sin killed him. And Jesus let him die. Why? To show forth his power that he can even raise dead people back to life. Because that's what he did in this room. Somebody say amen. Israel's going to be brought back to life by the four winds. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Winds are always indicative of spirits, by the way, aren't they? Okay, that's where I'm going with this. The fourth in the fiery furnace is like the Son of God. Okay, so we're getting an idea. Jesus, now, this is actually before he became a human in this world. He is now appearing in the fiery furnace, and he is the Son of God, and he is a spirit, and so he is providing protection for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The three are being blessed by number four. And it all points again to the gospel. Number four. Four spatial dimensions. I don't know if I'm going to spend a lot of time on this, but simply to say that heaven is represented by this number, by the number four. We talked about it a little bit last night, and I'm going to move on. We mentioned a city. Oh, here, now here's something to think about. In the Old Testament, they built an altar four square. What was that altar for? Does anybody know? Sacrifice. They built a fire on this four square altar, and everything was burnt in that fire. What does that remind you of? Hell. Think about it. Where's hell? Okay? It's in what Jesus referred to as the heart of the earth. And how many chambers does your heart have? Four. It's in the heart of the earth. This altar represents, I believe, a place called hell, and it is in a spiritual domain or a spiritual dimension. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? The city that lieth four square is New Jerusalem. That also is in a spiritual dimension or a spiritual world or a spiritual domain. Make sense so far? You see the deals here. Hell in a spiritual realm, heaven in a spiritual realm, identified by this number four. Very important, because it has to do with where the Messiah comes from, where the gospel comes from that you follow. The gospel that I follow comes from heaven, from a city four square. And the Lord and the Messiah that I follow comes from heaven. Where does the false Messiah come from? Where does his gospel come from? The pit, hell, the sea. Daniel chapter 2, I love this. When Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, he surrounded himself with magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, and the Chaldeans. How many? Four. And all four of them were practitioners of things like witchcraft, astrology. They served the creature, the stars, instead of the creator. Does that make sense to everybody? One, two, three, four. Those represent a false gospel system that has pervaded everything. Bailey, bring me that book. You got that book? Bring me that book. Okay? Thank you, sis. She saw me the other day and she said, I'm taking a course in college. You've got to see this book. So I got it today, and man, as soon as I looked at the cover, I went, Bailey, you see these stones here? You know what they are? So those are the four elements with ether. That's earth, air, fire, and water, and that's spirit there. There is basically witchcraft contained in this book. And it didn't take me five, I was sitting to use with me, it took me 5 minutes, and I'm going, okay, yeah, I see this here. Yeah, oh, look at that there. Yeah, there it is right there. This is integrative health. This, of course, she has to take in college. They're integrating witchcraft into the healthcare system. Who in here believes that? I'll show it to you tonight, if you'll bear with me long enough, if I'll hurry. Amen? But notice this. We have the magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, and Chaldeans, four, on one side. And then we had Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah on the other side. Who do they represent? Remember the four heaven from hell down here? They represent the four from heaven up here. And who had the answer? Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah they prayed to God and said, God, give us the answer or he's going to kill us all. These guys, they only pretended to know the answer. Witches, warlocks, soothsayers, you name it. They always fake their way through. They may know a partial secret, but they'll never be given the whole thing. When God tells us to stay away from this stuff, he's telling us that for a reason. He's telling us that because these people are liars. They were trying to get Nebuchadnezzar. Neb, tell us the dream. We'll tell you what it means. Nebuchadnezzar said, well, I'll tell you what. You either tell me the dream or I'll think that you guys have been lying to me all this time and I'm going to have your head cut off. Okay? Daniel said, we know the dream. God showed it to us last night. Man, I love this story. But notice the four here. Notice the pattern, all right? Then we have in Daniel, the secret, the dream, was all about this fourth kingdom. So what does that tell you? Because I had heard all my life, Kevin. Well, now the first kingdom is the Babylonian Empire. The second kingdom was the Grecian Empire. The third kingdom was the Roman Empire. The fourth kingdom is the revived Roman Empire. I believed it, but I never read it in the scriptures. Never read it in the scriptures. A revived Roman Empire would mean that this is an empire from this world, but it's not. That number four, here's why we study these numbers. That number four tells you that it does not come from this world. That number four tells you that it comes from there. And think of its opposite. You have the kingdom of heaven. You have the kingdom of hell. Which one are you going to live for? Which one are you looking for? Which one are you going to serve? Whose gospel are you going to believe in order to get into that kingdom? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? This has relevance to the four horsemen. What are these four? Now that we know this number four, it represents spiritual things. Do you think those four horsemen are like jockeys at the Kentucky Derby? No. Do you think they're spirits? I'll show it to you from the Bible that they are. Okay? And oh, by the way, the fourth kingdom does something here. Weird. The fourth kingdom does, in fact, if we were to examine this, remember I told you if you see four things, three are the same, one's different. The first kingdom is the head of gold. Gold not mixed with anything. Silver, second kingdom, not mixed with anything. The third was brass, not mixed with anything. The fourth kingdom was different because it was iron, but it was mixed with what? Miry clay. See the difference? It's always, that number is always going to show you that it's something different. I don't care where it is. In fact, let me go. I just thought of this. I'm going the wrong way here. Remember this? Magicians, astrologers, sorcerers. See number four? Chaldeans. That's different than magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers. Okay? When I give you this group, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, those four, which one of them actually brought forth the secret? Daniel did. He's different than the other three. Wow. Daniel spake, Daniel 7, I saw my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. When you strive, what are you doing? You're fighting. There's a war going on here. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. And then notice this. Behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth that devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was what? Diverse from all the beasts that were before it. Four is always different than the other three. There's a movie. It came out called I Am Number Four. Have you seen it? It's about a guy that's an alien. Okay? And he's got powers that the earthlings don't have. He's different than everybody else around him. Wow. The fourth kingdom. Now we see it here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We have four things here, and actually the fourth one tells us that we're dealing with spirits. We're not dealing with people. I hate Hillary Clinton and Barack and John Kerry and Nancy Pelosi and these people. But when I do battle, they're not the ones I'm fighting. When I get up in the morning and I can tell it's one of my bad days, Hillary's not the one standing there giving it to me. Okay? I'm fighting principalities. Principalities because I'm the head of my family, and principalities wants me to go away so that my family has a different head. I'm battling powers because powers wants me weak so that I have no power with God. Rulers of darkness because they don't want me to open the light of my Bible so they can rule over me. What happens when the sun comes out? What happens to all the stars when the sun comes out? They're gone. They have no power against the sun, do they? You ever thought about that? Isn't it cool? What happens to the moon and the stars when the sun comes out? They're still there. They can't overrule the sun, which is Jesus, which is the light of the world, which is that book. and spiritual wickedness in high places wants to rule over me and force me into its system so I do not live the gospel way. But we're dealing with, when you're dealing with four, you're dealing with spirits. That's what the Bible's telling you. Here we have in Genesis 7, I want you to think about this. How many days did it rain? 40 days, 40 nights. There's that number four. Notice that it says it, days and nights. They're opposites. It wasn't 80 days total. It's 40 days and 40 nights. Now, they could have said 40 days. We would have understood, well, that meant like, you know, day and night. The Bible specifically mentions, it splits it in two, 40 days and 40 nights. Where did that water come from during those 40 days and 40 nights? Above and below. Part of it, the open windows of heaven. Do what? What'd you say?
I said Mars.
Mars?
That's why there's no water on Mars.
Yeah, that's why there's no water on Mars. It all came from Mars. No more cookies for you. Your blood sugar is too high, okay? Fell down from heaven. Rose up from the fountains of the great deep. Rose up from the heart of the earth. Think about it. Revelation 12. Stars fall from heaven. Revelation 9. The pit is opened up. And these devils come up from the depths. Where does the beast rise up from? Hell, the pit, the sea. Okay? Now you understand why the 40 is there. What it represents. Is there a last day's flood coming? Yes, not of water. Let's see from the Bible what it means. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Jeremiah 46, Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Who do you think these are talking about? It's talking about those two armies of devils that are going to be poured out and cover the earth in the last days. When he says the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, he's not talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Antichrist. He's going to release him. He's going to come out like a flood. Him and all of those devils are going to come up like a flood. All those angels falling down from heaven are going to fall down on the earth like a flood of great waters. Like we mentioned it last night, a firestorm. Okay? All these Latter-day rain people and all of these new apostolic reformation people going, oh, the fire's going to fall down from heaven. They have no clue what it is that they're wanting and what's going to fall on them. What's going to happen is the devils are going to fall. The fourth kingdom is going to come down on them. Now watch this. See this? This is the picture of what is literally taking over the world right now. The CRISPR DNA editing system is now, it's turning out to be one of the easiest things that a scientist can do. It is actually so easy that high school boys can buy a kit for like, I don't know, $100. And in their room next to their Iron Man poster, they can alter the genetic structure of some kind of bacteria. They can do this in their bedroom. Every company in the world that has an interest in healthcare is going to pour its money into altering DNA. Rewriting it, cutting out things that they say they don't want in there, taking it out, adding something in that they want in there. A violation. We know this. We studied this. God wrote a book called DNA. In thy book, all my members were written. Psalm 139:16. God wrote a book called DNA. And if God wrote a book called DNA, Jesus said, in fact, Moses said in Deuteronomy, you're not supposed to add to or diminish from the word that I give you. Then Jesus said in Revelation 22, you should not add to nor take away from the words of the book. If you do, I'll add to you the plagues. If you take away words out of here, I'll take away your name out of the book of life. It's that simple. God said, don't do it. A different gospel is going to be presented to the world that will take the shape of gene editing. Because what does the real gospel do for us? It changes us for what? Everlasting life. Because, yeah, we all need change. That's all well and good. Unchristian people can change themselves. The gospel is all about, are we going to live forever in heaven or are we going to burn in hell? That's the gospel, right? Live forever. What did Satan promise Eve? Ye shall not surely die, but ye shall be as gods. Immortals. No longer dying. We're going to remove all your diseases. We're going to cure cancer. I'm going to show you something in a little bit. It's going to make sense. It's going to put it together. Okay? So the fake gospel is going to be presented to people. It's going to give them the promise of immortality, and they don't have to leave this body. Now, those of us who are really saved are sick of living in this body. Why? Because it's like I said a while ago, we are incapable of living right. In this flesh, we are incapable of living right. We can't do it. And you know what? The real Christians go, I hate me. I want out of this. I want to be in heaven with God so I don't do stupid stuff anymore. So I don't say stupid things anymore. So I don't hurt people anymore. So I don't look at this anymore. I don't do this anymore. I don't want this anymore. That's what the real Christians do. Amen? Okay? Who wants to live forever in a body that all it wants to do is sin? I don't. I want it crucified. I want it dead. I want the new one. Amen? Their version of the gospel is going to give that vile body immortality. Think of rock stars. Rock stars. They got all this money, which means they can buy women, booze, and drugs. And the only downfall to that is it kills them. What if you were a rock star and had all the money, drugs, booze, and women that you wanted, and you could live forever doing that? Would you do it? Okay, if you were, I didn't say if you were a Christian. If you were a rock star, would you do it? Absolutely. And they're going to. Okay, so now watch this. Romans chapter 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, that would be his gospel and his image, into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and to creeping things. So think about it. There's something in man's DNA that makes him have cancer. Birds don't get cancer. So let's take what is in man that causes cancer, cut it out, insert into man something that we got from birds that makes him not get cancer and put it in his genome. Now, he's corruptible man and bird. Four-footed beasts and creeping things like serpents. Is it possible? It's happening. It's already happening. They're doing it now. It's not just, I think they could eventually do this. They're doing it right now. They're changing the glory of the incorruptible God into the image of corruptible man, four-footed birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God. That's what your DNA is. Your DNA is a book that God wrote, and it is the truth of God. And they're going to change it into what? A lie. Right now, I'm human. 100% human. If you take 10 base pairs out of my DNA and put in 10 from a chicken, I am not human anymore. I'm something else. So if I say, oh, I'm still human, is that true? I've changed the truth of God into a lie. You see how it works? See how it's going to happen? And worshiped and served what? The creature. You know what the creatures are? Notice we have four things. Corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. Four things. There's your false gospel right there. And they serve the creature. The creature is the things that were made for signs, seasons, days, and years. They're serving angels. They're serving devils. More than the God who created the things that were for signs and seasons and days and years. God gave us seasons. Amen? I like seasons. I like heaven. I'd hate to move to Hawaii. I would hate Hawaii. I would hate to be a weatherman in Hawaii. Temperature for the next 80 days. 85 tomorrow. 79 tomorrow night. I'd hate that job. Okay? Chance of rain. I like my seasons. Amen. I like fall, I like winter, spring. I like them all. Bring them all on. God made those things. There are people who actually worship the seasons. There are people who worship the directions, north, south, east, and west, rather than the God who made those directions. Okay? That's where we're going. You've heard of this phrase, the elements. Okay? Elements. Elemental witchcraft. When she handed me this book, I mean, I did. I just went. Oh, you have to return this. Okay? No. I did. I looked at it and I went, there's elemental witchcraft in here. I know it. Okay? See, that's, you're looking at it and it's going, Mike, that's five rocks. Okay? Well, that's not just five rocks laying out in a field somewhere, because we know that nature does not stack five rocks on top of one another. There's this idea in the law, and it's actually a real idea, and it has this legal thing to it. You know that if you see a turtle on top of a post, you know the turtle didn't get there by himself. Right? Okay? That's actually just one of those truths that we understand. Nature did not do this. Man did. Okay? So this is not just five rocks. Man did this on purpose. What was the purpose? It symbolizes, it speaks in silence. And if you don't know the language, then you won't understand this. But I've been studying symbols now for years. And I look at it and going, okay, that's earth, air, fire, water, and spirit. They have the elements there of witchcraft. And there is witchcraft all in this book. I took some captures out of it. I'm going to show them to you in a little bit. Okay? But think of, if we eliminate spirit here, because that's the fifth element. That's what's produced by the other four. You have four things here. And anytime, and this is numbers, anytime you have four things, you're either going to have the real gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or you're going to have a fake gospel. Earth, air, fire, and water. Corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. First kingdom, second kingdom, third kingdom, fourth kingdom. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Astrologers, magicians, sorcerers, Chaldeans. You see the symbolism here. Do you see the pattern? If you see this, that just go all through your Bible and find four bad things, and that's what these are going to represent. Okay? They're the opposite of the true gospel. In witchcraft, they follow or they do their magic by way of what they call the elementals. Earth, well, let me show them to you here. Earth, air, fire, and water. And I want you to think about it. Fire and water, they're opposites. They don't go together, right? Okay? You can't have fire and water existing in the same place at the same time. Earth and air, are they opposites? You can't have earth and air occupying the same place at the same time. If you bring earth up, then air moves away. If you have air coming in, it moves away the earth. And that's just how it works. So they are opposites together. Just like guanine and cytosine. Guanine and cytosine actually are paired together. And in witchcraft, earth and air are paired together. Fire and water are paired together, like thymine and adenine. It all points you to the base pairs of DNA. Does that make sense to everybody? Follow me so far. Okay? So you're learning something. The elements of witchcraft, they're pointing right to what's on my tie. Because they're telling you that when these four elements join together, something rises up out of that. That's why there's five stones here. The idea is, this is a Japanese symbol, okay? When you go in Japanese gardens, you'll often see stones stacked up one another, and there's usually five of them. And that's because when you have the earth and the air and the fire and the water all join and combine together, then the fifth element, which is a secret hidden element, rises up out of the four. You see that? Okay? That's what that represents. And the number of companies that are switching their branding, their merchandising, their marketing, their logos to the four elements is, to me, it's a stunt. It's overwhelming. I can't keep up with it all. I'm still working on, I'm seeing hexagons everywhere. Okay? Sixes all over the place. Okay? But anyway, let's learn a little bit about these four elements. Here they are symbolized. Air and fire. Notice they're triangles. What happens when you put four triangles together? What do you get? Pyramid. Okay? It's four triangles. The pyramid represents the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. This pyramid, the Pyramid of Giza, the Great Pyramid, here it is on the back of the $1 bill. It's elemental witchcraft is what it is. You have the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. You have the four cardinal directions, north, south, east, and west. They represent the four seasons, summer, winter, spring, fall. All of these things are worshipped by practitioners of these religions. They're worshiping the creature, the creations, rather than the one who created them. I can enjoy this world and its seasons and the directions and its times. I can enjoy this world because I know the God who made this world. And I don't serve the times and the seasons. I don't serve the elements. I serve the God who made them. Amen? But see, notice in this logo, see, the Great Pyramid of Giza, if you'll notice, for thousands of years now, the capstone has been missing. Nobody knows what happened to it. Same way with the dollar bill. You have the four elements brought together, and out of those four rise up a capstone, a god with only one eye. Who is that? It's the idol shepherd who has his right eye put out, the Bible says. Think about it. Okay? That's who comes out of that. So the real gospel reveals Jesus Christ. Not the capstone, the cornerstone. Amen? The false gospel reveals who? Antichrist, the false Messiah, another Jesus, and another spirit. That's what this is all about. The summer and winter, this is what Manly Hall said. The summer and winter solstices were chiefly conspicuous as the gates of souls descending into this life or passing out of it in their ascent to the gods. Cancer being the gate of descent and Capricorn of ascent. You know what Cancer and Capricorn are? That's pretty good. They're opposites. One of them is 23 degrees above the equator. One of them is 23 degrees below the equator. And every year the sun rises and sets from this tropic, rises 46 degrees to this tropic, and then sets 46 degrees to this, does it every year. That's where we get the seasons, the summer, winter solstices, and the spring equinox. That's where we get it from. And God made it that way. All right? This is the pyramid. It's in Mexico. I can't remember the name of it. Chichen Itza. I used to think of it as chicken pizza. Okay? Chicken pizza, which not bad, by the way. Okay? But notice the four elements, north, south, east, and west, earth, air, fire, and water. And this was designed, who knows when, by some guys who really knew their stuff. Because see these steps here? They knew that if they built it this exact way, that on the summer solstice, when the sun rose on the summer solstice day, June 21st, exactly on this day, that it would cast a shadow that made it look like a serpent was descending down from heaven. See, there's a serpent's head down here. Dun, dun, dun. Then, on the winter solstice, they designed it so that it made it look like it was ascending back up. That's bad stuff. Amen.
There's four square altar in that room.
Yeah, there was. You're right.
Inside there is an altar,
four square. Four square altar in there, and they didn't sacrifice lambs. They didn't sacrifice goats and ox. They sacrifice humans. See, every religion will require a human sacrifice. Ours is the only one who our God sacrificed for us in our place. Somebody say amen. I'm glad you said that. That's good. He knew his chicken pizza stuff. Amen. Here's what Manly Hall said. According to certain Jewish mystics, Moses ascended Mount Sinai three times, remaining in the presence. Now, this is a lie. But remaining in the presence of God 40 days each time. During the first 40 days, the tables of the written law were delivered to the prophet. During the second 40 days, he received the soul of the law. And during the last 40 days, God instructed him in the mysteries of the Kabbalah, the soul of the soul of the law. Moses concealed in, looky here, the first four books of the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. They're saying that Moses concealed a great secret in the first four books of the Bible. That's what the Kabbalah is all about. It's about trying to find the secret that's buried and hidden in four things. Let me put it back into perspective. Here are four things. And there's a secret that's buried and concealed in these four things. Okay, you follow that so far? That's the teaching. Earth, air, fire, and water. Notice the colors. Yellow for air, because of the sun. Water's blue. Earth is green, because of grass. Fire's red. Water, fire, air, earth. Time magazine ran an article that said, can Google solve what? Death. Remember what I said the gospel was all about? It either gives you immortality or it's going to bring you death. The real gospel gives us immortality. Their false gospel will make you think they can give you immortality. Google chose these colors. It's on all their logos. Earth, air, fire, and water. Notice they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 letters. Four colors. Okay? Here. This is their logo. DNA. Google has a company that they bought called Calico. You know what Calico does? Calico is a company that is trying to examine DNA so that it can find what causes death, and they want to be able to cure death. Why the name Calico? What's a calico cat? Multicolored. That's why they chose that name for their company, Calico, because it's the four colors, earth, air, fire, and water, to get. See, the calico cat is multicolors in one body. In this case, earth, air, fire, and water, to bring forth something that they say is going to cause everybody to live without dying. Remember what I said. Now that the CRISPR gene editing system is out there and it's so cheap and it's so efficient and it's so easy to do, every company with money is going to start investing millions and billions of dollars into trying to find out how to cheat death. And just about everywhere I look in these companies, I see the four elements: earth, air, fire, and water. Earth, air. No, I got it wrong, didn't I? Earth, air, fire, and water. See this right here? What is that? It's a cross, X chromosome. Four elements, four base pairs. What logo is this? Microsoft. This came out today. This is from today. Microsoft will solve cancer within 10 years by reprogramming diseased cells. Yes, ma'am. What you got?
It's a picture. They've recently changed the logo. It's a church.
I gotta take this to camera B here. Okay? Let me make sure I get it on here. Okay? Look at there. First Baptist Church. Earth, air, fire, and water. Where did you see that?
That's in my town.
That's in your town?
And they've recently just changed the logo.
Yeah. Guess what? They're not the only ones. Microsoft. They're computers, right? Why are they wanting to do this? Because genetic code is written just like computer code. Bits, zeros, and ones. In fact, the article said that Microsoft knows that it can even use DNA as a computer to solve the reason why people get cancer, and they can cure it within 10 years. 10 years. Ask yourself the question. If in 10 years they come up with a way to make everybody live without dying, what do you think God's going to do? Okay? Think about it. Is this Bible becoming true right now? Everything in it. Look at this. Four times Paul warned us about another gospel. He did it once in 2 Corinthians 11. Then he did it three times in a row in Galatians 1. Another gospel. Preach it, though we or an angel from heaven. Think about where these guys are going to come from. They're going to come down from heaven. What are they going to do? They're going to say, we have the code you're looking for. We have the cure for all your diseases. Google and Microsoft and all of these other companies are trying to search this out. We have the key of giving you immortality. Though we or an angel from heaven preach four times in your Bible any other gospel, let him be accursed. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Because in that church, or in those churches, the Jewish mystics came in with the Kabbalah and said, you've got to keep Moses' law. It's because they knew that encoded in the first four books was a secret. And they said, you got to keep the Torah if you're going to have everlasting life. And Paul said, who bewitched you? He used the word witchcraft, didn't he? Did you know that Paul also warned them about following elemental witchcraft in the book of Galatians? Look at what he said. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? And you may say, well, he's, you know, talking about the stuff in this world, right? Notice then what he says. Whereunto you desire again to be in bondage, you observe days, number one, and months, and times, in years. Four. Just like witches do. They observe winter solstice, spring equinox, summer solstice, autumnal equinox. They observe times. They observe seasons. They point in directions. They say, let's point to the four directions and let's bring the four elements in to follow us. Beth Moore.
On the bottom floor,
there's a YouTube video of her leading a worship service. And she is calling, she's, everybody, you people face this direction. Now you people face south. You face north. You face east. And let's bring in God into this place. It's witchcraft. Elemental witchcraft. It's a different gospel. It says that if we face these four directions, then God will come into our presence. I don't believe that. I believe I can be lying flat on my face and say, God, I need you. And God will be there. I don't think I have to face four directions. I don't think I have to worship on certain days. I don't think I have to be in a certain location, draw a circle, say magic words. I don't believe that. That's a lie. That is works. That is a different gospel than the one you and I know. That's witchcraft. Islam. The four minarets around most of their mosques are the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. I told you about the problem I had in Migori, Kenya. They beat me up. And there were two mosques in that town, and I knew this. I knew that both of them, they weren't lined up with the street. And I told Brother Mike Hutzel, and I said, see those mosques there? Yeah. See how they're not lined up with the street? He said, yeah, I noticed that. What's up with that? I said, it's witchcraft. It's elements, earth, air, fire, and water, north, south, east, and west. They're lined with the directions because it's witchcraft. And I'm telling you, it's a bad spirit. And they did not, listen, those spirits don't like the presence of someone who has Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in them. They don't like you. And they will try to destroy you. Do you believe that? How many of you have known that? Okay? I'm telling you the truth. See it? Element Christian Church. See their logo? It's like blatantly earth, air, fire, and water. The churches are now changing. Oh, foolish church! Who bewitched them into believing this? That spirit, do you know why? Because Andy Stanley said, you don't need this book. You don't need Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What if what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John said was wrong? Then your faith is based upon something that's a lie. So let's don't have this. I don't follow Andy Stanley. I don't listen to a word he says. But I guarantee you that what is going to come out of his mouth is an elemental witchcraft false gospel. It may not be obvious at first, but I promise you it'll be there because he rejected that one. In your book, bless you for taking a stand on this. See, the yoga gospel, the yoga sutras, it says in this book that this man, Patanjali, wrote four sutras 2,000 years ago. These sutras were, the word means sitting or seated. And he wrote all of the principles of yoga and he put them in four books. And when I read that, I went, I know what that is. It's a replacement gospel. Bailey, this is what your book said. Approximately 2,000 years ago, the sage Patanjali described the eight limbs of yoga in his text. I know what those eight limbs are. Their beast is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. You can look it up, how many legs scorpions have. The Yoga Sutra and these limbs serve as a practical guide to self-development. They outline specific lifestyle, hygiene, detoxification regimens, as well as physical and psychological practices that can lead to integrated personal development. That's in here. That's in a college textbook on integrating witchcraft into medicine. Let me go back here. Do you think witchcraft is being integrated into medicine? It is. Okay? The principles, ideas, concepts of elemental witchcraft are being integrated into medicine. Here is another page. It talks about, it specifically mentions the primal energies that people interact with: earth, water, fire, and air. Spirits is what they are. Principalities, powers, rules of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. This book has Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Kripalu Yoga, and then Kundalini Yoga, which incorporates chanting with powerful breath work and specific postures designed to awaken the serpent power in the sacrum. That's the devil in healthcare. Thank you for this. God put this together, people. Here's what it's all about. It's about a beast rising up out of the sea that looks like a leopard, a bear, a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. Four things: earth, air, fire, and water, north, south, east, and west, winter, spring, summer, fall, you name it. All of the elementals are represented by this beast, who is the replacement Messiah, the one they'll follow. He is known as the divine center. In this, the earth, air, fire, and water bring forth out of their midst the fifth element. So, this is an ancient, I want to say Native American, but I'm thinking Aztec picture. By the way, just look at it. What does it look like to you?
Swastika.
Hitler did not invent the swastika. It does not mean Nazi party. The swastika was an ancient symbol, been around for thousands of years. It represents immortality. It represents the key to living forever. Because you have basically the X chromosome, you have earth, air, fire, and water. And these are all dragon spirits, by the way, devils. And the idea is that in the center of these is that when they come together, something rises up out of the divine center. You see it all around the world. Swastikas, symbols like the swastika. This is from Native American symbolism. Hindu symbolism. Most Buddha idols have a swastika on his forehead, on his chest, something. Most of them do. And it's a symbol representing immortality through four things that join together where something rises out of it. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. Okay? I'm going to show it to you. The Denver airport. Made just like it. My credit card has that logo on it. It is a stylized swastika cross. Because when the beast comes, the false prophet is going to make everybody receive a mark, and that no one might what? Buy or sell. Credit card companies, financial companies, adopting these logos. It's a spirit. Quetzalcoatl was the fiery flying serpent god of the Aztecs, and he is often depicted with a cross symbol. The teaching is that he rises out of what this represents. He's coming out of that. In the Catholic Church, you have every Catholic church in the world built like this. They have, this is the nave, this is where the altar is. This is what's called the transept. It makes a cross. When someone is married, they're put in this spot. When someone dies, they're put in this spot. When you receive communion, you are put in this spot right here. Because over the top of most of these Catholic churches is a dome. Have you ever noticed that? Domes always represent the heavens. And what you have in this building is you have the heavens joining with the earth in this spot. Right there. You see that? What you have here is they mingling themselves with Adnin, Guanin, Sarazin, Thymin, the seed of men. The place where east meets west and north meets south, where up is down and down is up, is this spot right here. It's in the exact center of the earth. Kevin, do you know what's down here? Do you know why?
Never been there?
Here it's pretty hot, okay? You know why we're stuck to the ground the way we are? Gravity. What's at the core of the earth? A very large ball of molten iron. You know what's at the core of every star in the universe? Take a guess. Iron. Stars have iron, and the core of the earth has iron. What is that fourth kingdom? Iron. What's it going to do? Mix with miry clay. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. It's called the heart of the earth, and the heart has four chambers in it. Okay? So think about it. You have all these churches. Cross Point Church. Cross Point. Cross Point. Cross Point. A mark on the forehead denoting the point at which their Savior is going to rise up out of. Cross Point. That's the cross point of your DNA in your chromosome, where the four base pairs are. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. The circle, the only time you find the word circle in the Bible, do you know where it is? Only time in the Bible where the word circle is mentioned. Sits on the circle of what? The earth. Okay? So when you see people making a circle. Bingo. Okay? You see them making it. Notice the witches gathering together. And they have a fire in the center of their circle. What is that? Hell. Because that's where their power is going to come up from. The cross point, the divine center. The God and the goddess of witchcraft is looking on. That's the horned god. That's the Antichrist. That's the goddess. That's the humanity. Witches always get in a circle. They have a circle of a calendar. They all worship inside to see the four elements here, earth, air, fire, and water, and one rising out of the four elements, which is the pentagram. Same thing, witchcraft. Mark Batterson told everybody, all the Christian churches in America, draw a circle. Stand in it, in the center of it, and then God will give you your blessing. And he knows that because he read it from a Jewish fable. What was we were told not to give heed to? Jewish fables. He wrote a book of witchcraft. And that's what people are doing. I was in a Christian bookstore today and it just... Dad, they'll tell you I was not... I'm not going, oh, I love this stuff. That wasn't... Nah, uh-uh. CERN! CERN. They draw circles. And whatever it is they're doing it in a circle. Okay? By the way, here's their god, Shiva. He's in a fire, a ring of fire, because he fell into a burning ring of fire. And he is the Lord of destruction. He is Abaddon. He is Apollyon. And he is the God who is down in the circle of the earth, in the center point, in the ring of fire. And they want to open a portal so he can come out of there. All right? Where are we going with this? Now turn to Revelation 6. Okay? Revelation 6. Let's see how much I have left here. Oh, man, we're almost done. Okay? Revelation 6. Now, saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. The Lamb has the book. What is the book? It's this. It's this book with the Old and the New Testament and the four Gospels joining it together. It's just like this book. It's written by God. It has two strands joined together by four base pairs that match the four Gospels. This book of DNA, incidentally, is always in a state of being rolled up like a scroll and sealed. And there's only one thing in the world, in your body, that can unroll that book and break and loose those seals. Okay? It's called RNA polymerase. And what it does is that it opens up the book and makes copies of the genes so it can turn it into proteins, and then it seals it back together again. You remember when Jesus was given the book in the synagogue? You remember that in Luke chapter 4? You know what book he was given? Isaiah. Isaiah has 66 chapters. Your Bible has 66 books. He was given the book. And you know what he did? He opened it up temporarily, read a portion of it, and then closed it back. He said, this is fulfilled in your ears. And what RNA polymerase does, this is so cool. RNA polymerase is the machine that goes up and down your DNA strand and it looks for a certain place. Because Jesus, when he was handed the book, he went to a certain place. Isaiah 63. And when it finds a certain genetic strand, it'll open it, it'll loose the seal, it will open it, it will give a copy of that, make a copy of it, and then close it back up, and then that copy is called a transcript. The transcript is then sent to a place where it can be turned, because it's the recipe for a protein that your body needs. And once it receives that transcript, it then takes what the genes say to do, and it pulls in all these things together and makes this protein that makes your body live. Okay? And it's exactly what Jesus did in Luke 4. He only opened up a portion of the book, read it, closed it, and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. It's exactly what RNA polymerase does. I'm just going, that's the coolest thing in the world. Okay? There is only one thing in your body that can open the book of DNA. There is only one person in the universe who can open up God's book, and that is Jesus Christ. So think about it. All the witches, all the warlocks, all the pagans, everybody that worships the elements, they all say that there's something bound, something hidden in there, something sealed up, something. You heard this in church, remember? When they told you you need to release something on the inside of you. You've got something inside of you that you need to release. It's bound. You need to unbind it and release it. Remember hearing that in church? Remember hearing those sermons? Okay? You hear them everywhere now. They all know that there's something bound up in there. Their problem is they've been working now for 6,000 years and they've never been able to loose it. There's only one person who can let that loose. His name's Jesus. He's the only one who can open the book and loose the seals. And when he does, he's doing it on purpose. There's something. There's blessings in this book, are there not? Are there also curses? Remember what Jeremiah did with the curses that he wrote against Babylon? He bound them to a stone and he cast them into the river. Okay? Your DNA is a stone. It's crystal. And there's something bound in you. You know it. Something very evil. something very dark that's inside of you, and you fight every day to keep it from coming out. Can I hear you say amen? I'm going to be honest. We were talking about this before, a while ago. Every now and then, I get mad. Did you know I know what cuss words are? I know how to spell them. And you know, for some reason, when I get super mad instantly, the first thing that jumps in my mind is cuss words. And I have to deliberately go, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't let that out. I want to, but I don't let them out. You know what I'm talking about? You got stuff in you. Every one of you, I'm looking at you guys. I know you. I love you. You got stuff in you that's bad, evil. And all of a sudden, it just pops up. And you have to say, I ain't letting that out. No way, no how. God, give me strength. Amen? Okay? Jesus said there's actually 13 things in you that's in the heart of man that defiles a man. 13. Revelation 13. Beasts rise up out of the sea. So you know what that is down in there, don't you? That's that beast. That's what Paul said in Romans 7. No good thing. Let's get to these four horsemen. I think we're going to get it now. I think we're going to understand. The Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see, and there went out another horse that was red. Notice there's colors here. You notice that? Remember the four elements? They had colors, didn't they? Come and see, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him, sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one. And I want you to think of the gospel. The gospel goes out into the world to bring peace, right? Jesus said, I come that you might have life. He's the Prince of Peace. Notice when these things come out, this one conquers, this one starts a war everywhere. Then you have verse 5, when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and another beheld a little black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and wine. That's famine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. Isn't that interesting that you have four things, and the fourth one's different than the other three? Did you notice that? When the fourth one comes out, something else comes with him. I forgot to put this in my notes, but I had this in my mind when I woke up this morning. You ever seen the movie Tombstone, Kurt Russell? Okay. Listen to her.
I've seen it in the Bible because...
Okay. Then you know the scene then when they're... It's... tell me their names. Wyatt Earp. Doc Holliday. And his... Earp's two brothers. Four men. And they're walking to the OK Corral. In this movie, as these four are coming together... Behind them, there is a church, a building that is on fire, fully engulfed. All you see is flames behind them. And they're coming out. And Kurt Russell, later on, tells the Clanton gang and the Cowboys, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me. That's the theme of that movie. Go watch it. When you see those four guys come out, they're the four horsemen, and you see the imagery of fire. You look at the... You Google Tombstone, the movie, and the movie poster is those four guys with flames behind them. I kid you not.
Which horseman is the Huckleberry?
The Huckleberry, yeah. Think about it. Three of those guys are Earps. Doc's different. Dun, dun, dun. Listen, this... spirits here. Hell comes with him. And so look at this. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. How many things? Four things. Four elements. Fourth kingdom. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spirits. And by the way, these four things, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thiamine, because that's the book that all of Google and Microsoft and all of these companies, they're wanting to unseal it. There's something in there that all of the witches, warlocks, astrologers, everybody, there's something in there that they want to come out of there, but they can't get it out because they can't open the seals. Only Jesus can. And he opens the seals, and these four things come out. And these four things, Zechariah, they're spirits. Zechariah, and I turned, lifted up my eyes, and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. The mountains were mountains of brass, and the first chariot, red horses. Second chariot, black horses. Third chariot, white horses. Fourth chariot, grizzled and bay horses. Same color. Only the fourth horse is different than the other three. The other three are solid in color. The fourth one is grizzled and bay. He's different. But he said, then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from their spirits. Those four horsemen are spirits. And they're going to be let loose on this earth. And they're going to take peace from this earth. And people are going to die. In Ezekiel 14, I don't have the time to do a full study on this, but in Ezekiel 14, you study this out. The elders of Israel come to Ezekiel, and God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, see these men? Every one of them have idols in their heart. Four chambers. That means their body is a temple, and instead of God being in the throne of their temple, in the midst of the sea of glass, the pericardium, where the four living creatures are, the four chambers of your heart, they have an idol in their heart. And God says to them in Ezekiel 14, he says, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither their son nor their daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. That is the same four things in Revelation 6 that God destroys a fourth part of the earth with. Wow. Yeah, dun dun dun. Okay? What does it all mean? Okay? I'm not sure, but I really believe that in each one of us and everybody out here and everybody all over the world, there is in us no good thing. And it's sealed up in there. Look at what Daniel, God told Daniel, but thou Daniel, oh shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Your DNA, when it's rolled up and scrolled up, the base pairs are joined together. They're joined together by, I think it's called a hydrogen bond. It's hydrogen that bonds all of those base pairs together. And there's only one thing in your body that can break those hydrogen bonds apart so that whatever is encoded in that book, now that that book has been opened, the seals have been broken and it's been opened, now whatever is in that book can be encoded and come out. Does that make sense? Deuteronomy 32, for their rock. Notice their little R rock. We talked about that. Who is that rock? It's the Antichrist. He's a rock that's been carved by the hands of man. He's the rock in masonry that is called, masonry has the symbolism of two rocks. The rough ashlar and the smooth ashlar. The rough ashlar is the rock that you find out in the quarry. The smooth ashlar is the rock that the mason's tools, his works, take and carve out this perfect cube of a rock. And it's the idol shepherd, because an idol shepherd is a rock that has been carved out by the hands of man. Their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Their vine is a vine of Sodom, and the fields of Gomorrah, and their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter, their wine is the poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my what? Treasures. And what is his treasures? We found out the other night, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's sealed up in here. One of these days, when Christ is ready to unleash hell on this earth, he's going to take the book, loose the seals, and what has been shut up and sealed in that book is now going to come out. Do you understand what I'm saying so far? I'm saying so far. I'm done saying. This is it. This is all I have. Okay? That is the limit. You now know everything that I know about those four horsemen, our DNA, the four elements. Everything that witchcraft represents is all about bringing the four elements together, because something's going to come out of that. And I am like 99.8999% sure that those four elements are the four base pairs of our DNA. We have something in us that we want crucified. Amen? Crucified. We offer ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's things in here that I do not want to live. I want them killed. Amen? You have those? Okay? This is why we live the life that we live. Crucified daily. Taking up our cross daily and following Jesus. That's what this is all about. Because I don't know how it's all going to come out. But one of these days, they're going to be able to open that book and pull that thing out of there. That's going to be their destruction.